scripture reading today comes from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Last weekend, I visited an attraction unique to Wisconsin. I've only been living in the States since January, and so I'm still trying to learn all about what my new home state has to offer. And so while my sisters were visiting from out of state, I took them to the House on the Rock. How many of you have ever been to House on the Rock? Okay, how many of you have ever dared to go back again? Okay, we got one. One or two. I have heard that really once is enough. I had a vague idea of what I was getting into. The house was literally built on a rock outcropping. It's about an hour outside of Madison. And the builder was Alex Jordan Jr., who started this work in the 1940s. And what he discovered is that people were really curious about what he was doing, and so they would ask if they could go visit. And he started to charge them an admission fee, and then he realized maybe he could actually make this into an attraction. And that led to a decades-long effort of building both on the house and these various outbuildings. We bought the ultimate experience ticket, which let us go through all three sections of the house. First is the house itself, which has some features similar to maybe a Frank Lloyd Wright home. There are, you know, low ceilings, cantilevered roof, and really an effort to build into nature. So as you're going through this, you might find that the floors and the walls are actually built of rock. There are trees that are growing up through the seating spaces. There are waterfalls. Then the second section takes you into the streets of yesteryear. And this is kind of like you're imagining that you're walking down a street from the early 20th century, and you can kind of peer into the windows of the baker or the dentist or the sheriff's office. And then things start to get really weird. The next path, it takes you into the Heritage of the Sea, which is a three-story building, and it has this model of a 200-foot sperm whale wrestling an octopus. And you walk around rings and rings of model ships to get all the way to the top, and then you work your way all the way back down. In section three, you get the full brunt of Mr. Jordan's collections. Model airplanes, guns, dolls, doll houses, East Asian art, knights in armor, mechanical banks, and on it goes. The highlight is the world's largest carousel in section three. It rotates around with 269 different kinds of animals, not just horses. 20,000 lights, 182 chandeliers on this amazing carousel. No one gets to ride it, of course. It just goes around and around. And on the ceiling above it, there are these female mannequins with wings strapped to them, like angels that are peering down at us. I spent hours inside this house on the rock, most of it in underground, kind of in the dark. You move along these one-way paths that are kind of darkly lit, and you start to feel pretty overwhelmed. After about the 40th dollhouse display, I heard a young boy behind me. He was probably about 8 years old. And he says, "This is a room from my nightmares." And so I started to get anxious about wanting to get out of there. You know, my sisters and I, we went faster, and we skipped the exhibits that we'd paid to see. We just had to find a way to get out of there. The more anxious I started to get, the more I needed to I realized that I needed to rely on these little signs that would say, "Continue." And they had an arrow pointing the way. Continue. A word that said, "You're not there yet. Keep going. Continue. You can do this. Continue. Just one more room, one more staircase, one more turn. Continue." And then finally, up and out of the shadows into the fresh air and the sunshine. Now, I share this with you because I was actually thinking of you all when I was going through the house on the rock. I've been thinking about the changes that are happening at Crossroads. The time of transition with Reverend Galen, helping you to find your new head of staff pastor. Now with Reverend Spott's departure to accept a new call in Colorado. You are on your own ultimate experience, if you will. You're on a one-way journey. My colleagues in the presbytery, I fear, will just die if they know that I tried to equate the pastoral transition process with House on the Rock. And I can just imagine them saying, you know, "Rachel, we wanted you to go and provide some reassurance, some word of encouragement. You couldn't come up with a better analogy than House on the Rock." But hear me out on this. I am not going to come and try to persuade you that finding a new pastor is all sunshine and roses, right? Because you've done this before. And for many of you, you're thinking you've done this too many times before. You've had several pastoral changes for all sorts of different reasons, some of them very painful. You know that it can be a lot of work and that it takes time. And now you have Chris's departure to add to that. He had carried you in a pastoral way through some of those transitions, and he had carried your grief as he tried to support you and to support the congregation as a whole. And before I go any further, I do want to thank you for the ways in which you cared for and encouraged Chris. The skills that he learned here, the gifts that he got to test here, he's going to take with him now to Colorado as he follows God's leading there. You all have created in this space a culture of call. You are seeking to follow God's call. Your core values say this. You have being faithful to God's call, nurturing each other's faith journeys, ministering beyond ourselves. So I thank you for the ways that you loved Chris and have now released him to pursue a new call for God. But with his departure, you have an opportunity to develop the best kind of staffing that you need for this place. You'll look at what gifts would a new pastor, a new associate pastor, how will that complement your head of staff? Are there roles that Chris did that are more appropriate for a committee, perhaps, or other staff? How does this intersect with the new congregational care director, Kim Steffen, that you all have? How will they work together? And what does your Holy Cow assessment tell you about the future of the church and its future leadership? And so as you answer those questions, you have an opportunity to really develop the best staffing model you can. And I know it probably doesn't feel like an opportunity right now. It may feel more like being underground, tripping along a dark one-way path with, I don't know, carousel music haunting you in the background. Like people trapped in the house on the rock, we get anxious about wanting to get out of the shadows, right? And so we start bypassing the things that we ought to see, and we just try to go faster, and we don't even necessarily care which direction we're going. Just, you know, find me a shortcut, find me an emergency exit. As we seek God in the shadows today, I want us to explore two topics: fear and helplessness. First, fear. Studies show that when we are fearful, we make decisions out of our brain stem, right? The reptilian part of our brain. And that's focused on survival. Anxiety and fear can actually disable the other parts of our brain that focus on creativity and imagination. Fear lets our reptilian brain take over and move us along paths that are not necessarily helpful. And it's tempting in a pastoral transition to focus on survival, right? How do we get our next pastor, any pastor, I don't care what their theology or their experience or their gifts, we just got to get somebody here right now. I probably don't need to tell you this, but that's a really bad way to pick a pastor. And I trust that your PNC knows that. But fear can do that to the rest of us. Just when we most need our imagination to think through creative staffing and reinvigorated ministries, we disable our imagination through fear and insist that we just find a shortcut to survival. So in today's scripture reading, Paul offers this prayer for the Ephesians and for us that removes fear. Paul prays that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. Paul chooses the heart as the place of Christ dwelling, right? The place of love. And he continues his prayer that we might truly know the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ's love. Our fears and anxiety dissipate in the face of that kind of love. Fear melts away. It's the love that led us to become Christians in the first place. It's the love that led us to commit our lives to Christ. I need to say something that might sound harsh. And I'm not picking on you all, because I would say this to any congregation in the presbytery. But I also don't want you to reduce it to a sound bite, but try to hear the fullness of what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if Crossroads Presbyterian Church in Mequon, Wisconsin survives. What matters is that the gospel survives, and it will, because it's safely in God's hands. And you, Crossroads Presbyterian Church in Mequon, Wisconsin, are called to be faithful to and to proclaim that gospel. And if you do that, you will not just survive, you will thrive. Being faithful to the gospel includes knowing that Christ's love dwells within you. And so if fear about the future of the church starts to swell up, I want you to swaddle yourself in Christ's love. I just became a grandma in July, and so I'm relearning the importance of swaddling. I want you to swaddle yourself in Christ's love, focusing not on the survival of the church, but on the proclamation of the gospel. And you know this, right? You chiseled it on your wall for all to see. Everyone who enters here sees this. Your mission statement, to know Christ and to bring others to him. And if you truly know Christ, not just up here in your head, but if you know the length and the height and the breadth and the depth of that love that dwells within you, fear will be ashamed to visit this place. Let's talk about helplessness for a bit. In times of pastoral change, you can also sometimes feel a little bit helpless. Things happen to you, right? Chris left. Scott left, in a sense, and you were unable to prevent any of it. And it can seem like you're just being hit by one wave after another, kind of like there's a 200-foot sperm whale wrestling an octopus, and you're just clinging to the bow of a model ship. But in Ephesians, Paul again reminds us that we have the power to rise above the turbulent water. Paul prays that they and we will be strengthened in our inner being with power through his Spirit. Christ dwells in our heart, but the Spirit gives power to our inner being, power that overcomes any sense of helplessness. Remember, I said that survival of the gospel is safely in God's hands. God doesn't need us to accomplish God's will on earth. God doesn't need Crossroads. God certainly doesn't need the Presbytery. God doesn't need the Presbyterian Church USA or any human effort. And yet, how humbling is this? God chooses to work through us. Paul writes, through the Spirit's power and at work within us, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Of all the ways that God's great name might be proclaimed, God chooses to work through the church. God chooses to work through Crossroads Presbyterian Church right here, right now in this community, so that you might know Christ and bring others to him. For that mission, you have all the power that you need. And that power doesn't rest just with the session or the staff or the PNC. That power is not waiting on a new pastor. Each of you is empowered by the Spirit to be part of the future of this church as it seeks to bring others to Christ. You are not helpless. You are empowered by the presence of the Spirit to accomplish far more than all you can imagine or ask. The Presbytery believes in your mission, and we want to support you in this transition. The Commission on Ministry Liaison, Bruce Jones, is already working closely with your session. And if you'll have me, I will be privileged to worship and help lead worship with you a few more times over the coming months. There might be hiccups during this transition. You might not always agree. You could even start to feel overwhelmed, like an 8-year-old boy trapped in a room of dollhouses. But here's a caution. Those are the spaces in which evil might seek to divide you. And so I urge you, in unity and faithfulness to the gospel, swaddled in Christ's love, with the power of the Spirit in your inner being, continue your mission to know Christ and to bring others to him. Follow the signs of Christ's leading that read, continue. You're not there yet. Continue. Keep going. You can do this. Continue. Just one more meeting, one more interview, one more month. Continue. Until finally, up and out of the shadows, you will find yourself in the fresh air and sunshine. Amen.